Everybody sing that shit. Welcome to another episode of the Breakdown Podcast. And this, I'm nervous today. We have a superstar in the building. Chris Kirkland, ex-Wigan, Liverpool, England keeper. How you doing, mate?
I'm good, mate. Yeah, I'm good. Obviously, it's testing times at the minute. I'm really testing times for real times. It's, you know, hopefully we never have to go through anything like this again. But, for now, we've just got to make sure that we get through it, we stay safe and, you know, stay indoors, listen to all the guidelines. But, yeah, it's certainly making things tough.
Yeah. So I wanted to specifically talk about your anxiety, mental health story, because it's like I wasn't fully aware of it until I did some research. But in 2017, you announced, like, became public and said that you were struggling with anxiety, depression. Was it, I mean, how long before that was it going on? Was it a thing that you experienced as a kid or...?
I've always been a home person, so I never liked being away from home. I never liked being out of my comfort zone. But it started in 2012 when I moved to Sheffield Wednesday.
Yeah.
For 11 years when I moved to Liverpool in 2000, was at Liverpool for 5 years, then moved to Wigan for 6 years and lived in the same area, lived in the same house, you know, had the same routine, did things, everything was set sort of thing. I knew my daily routine And then I moved to Sheffield Wednesday and obviously had to travel, get up early and travel like people do to go to jobs. You know, I was leaving at 5:30 in the morning to beat traffic and panicking about beating the traffic, getting stuck in traffic on the way home, not getting home till late. And then, so it started from there, just started eating away at me a little bit. You know, the winter days, mornings when it's dark and freezing and traveling on my own in the car, it was tough and it sort of started taking over me. I mean, the first year of Sheffield Wednesday was the football got me away from that. So for the 90 minutes I played every game the first season, and that 90 minutes sort of made me forget about it. But as soon as the whistle went, I just couldn't wait to get in the car and get home, which was wrong really. But I said many times before that it wasn't such a great club in Sheffield Wednesday, the staff there. I mean, they didn't know there was a problem. Andy Rhodes, the goalie coach, who was amazing with us, knew there was an issue. They thought it was to do with my wife, because back then I thought I couldn't come out and say it was me because I thought I'd lose my place or whatever, or embarrassment or whatever. You know, nothing had ever been spoken of by a sports person before, really. So we said it was my wife. So Andy Rhodes and the club were brilliant. They gave me days off when I needed them, or, you know, without having to travel and stuff like that. And without that, I'd have walked a long time before I did.
Did you, like, consider the options of just not speaking out about it? How long was you mulling over that decision?
Until I come out in 2017.
Yeah. So a long time.
It was a long time. 3 years. I mean, to be honest, the 3 years passed quite quick. First 2 years of football, well, first 18 months of football sort of my release, and then the last 6 months of the second season, it was hard to focus in games. My form
dipped a bit.
And then the third season, they bought Kieran Westwood in, and he was going to be the number one. And I was happy, to be honest, because I didn't have the pressure then of having weekends, which is wrong again. You know, always played for. And I was going to sign again from the 2015-2016 season, because, as I said, everything about the club was amazing. The staff, the players, the fans were just incredible with us. But I was in my training gear, ready to sign on first day of pre-season, and I just couldn't do it. I just said I needed to be closer to home. I thought being closer to home would reverse the cycle, would make me feel better and getting back to bit, but it didn't. By then, I was just too far gone. So I went to Preston for a year. Really struggled when I was there. Then in 2016, I went to Bury. Signed for Bury. Shouldn't have signed for them because I just didn't want to train, didn't want to play, didn't want to do anything. I just thought, you know, the professional side kicks in, something I've always done. But then I ended up leaving there after a month and saying that I need. So I contacted the PFA and just said, look, I'm in a bad way. I need some help. And that's when things started to gradually get better then. But I didn't get to the bottom of it. I went to the PFA, which they were great. Michael Bennett was superb. You know, the PFA helped me a lot. But I didn't really get to the root of the problems. And it wasn't until 6 months or so ago that I went to a rehabilitation centre for my mental health. And that's really when then I started, you know, the people there at Parkham, it was at Parkham Place in North Wales. So I knew I needed to go somewhere to get to the bottom of it. Obviously, the sporting chance is through the PFA. So, but I rang them up and said, look, I'm in a bad way, I need help. Mm-hmm. But the waiting list was like 3 months to get in. And I thought, oh, I need somewhere now. So me and my wife, Leona, just got on the internet, Googled places, came up with this Parkland place, which was about an hour away from my home, which again was a bit of comfort knowing it weren't too far away.
Yeah.
Went there and they're amazing with us. I went there, I had no intention of staying over, you know, because it's one of these, they accommodate the person. So if you can't stay over for whatever reason, or didn't want to, then you go there during the day and then go back there the next day, sort of thing. So, but in the end, I was staying over more than I came home because I felt comfortable. I felt it was helping. We were talking at night to, you know, the other guests outside. We all had cups of tea outside at night. And it's a beautiful place where it is in North Wales. It's Colwyn Bay. So, I mean, it's overlooking the sea. It's just a brilliant place. And that really fixed me up. And sitting here today, it's the best thing I could have done.
Yeah. What was the response from like fans and other players when you did talk about mental health back then? Because like you say, there weren't many people talking about it.
No. I mean, when I first went out in 2017, obviously the press were all over it. I went down to St George's and do like a release day down there. But again, I was getting help, but it wasn't really, really working. It was. I still knew there was an issue. Felt better, a lot better. And for 6 months, I thought, yeah, I feel good here. And it starts to slowly creep back in. You miss football. You miss the routine. You miss what you've done for 19 years. The dressing room. You know, you had a structure. You had a every day. You had a structure. You knew what time to train. You knew what time to eat. You knew where you had to be. And you know, everything sort of planned out for you. And I started to miss that. Really miss that. And then I just started to slip back in again. Wasn't about 6-8 months ago, I thought I'm slipping back in here. I don't want to go this way, and that's why I knew I needed to go into a place to proper get to the root of things and get help. And Parkland Place were just incredible, incredible.
So I guess like when you first spoke about it, like sport, because you hear a lot about sports psychologists and stuff. Was that any help back then in the days?
There weren't really anyone about in the clubs then. It was just, you know, when it. Over from 2012 to 15, it wasn't really spoken about. It was, you know, it's only been in the last 2 years really that mental health is spoke about regularly now, more or less every single day, which is great and needs to be, because it's not something you can do like a passing ship in the night, do it every month, or, you know, do a day every 6 months. It needs to be every single day. Mm. And particularly now with what's going on with this coronavirus, there's going to be a lot of people struggling.
Yeah, I've been saying that for a while, like, because my issues with anxiety started because of elevated stress. So, like, I'm concerned that there's that many people out there. So the longer we're in lockdown and the less people can earn and stuff like that, like, if their stress levels peak like mine did like 15 years ago, who's to say that we're going to have so many more anxiety disorders and depression set in?
You're right, mate. These are unprecedented times, isn't they? This is just... what we're going through at the minute is just, it still seems so surreal.
It really does.
But I mean, we'll talk about it tonight. We've been on lockdown now for nearly 6 weeks. Our daughter, when it first came out, our daughter showed a few signs. She got sent home from school. She had a cough. Mm-hmm. She was fine. She didn't have it. But obviously then we had to isolate. And then when we were isolating, the lockdown was enforced just as we were coming out of it. So it's been, but we're all saying now it's almost becoming normal, which is not good. You know, it's the first 2 weeks were really hard. It was like a real shock, and it was like, oh my god, like you said, you start thinking, when am I gonna be able to go out again, when am I gonna be able to do this, when am I gonna be able to? And you start get, but now it's almost in a bad way, because this is not normal. It is becoming slightly normal, what, you know, the lockdown. We know what you do every day now when you get up. You know, you can go out, do your exercise, but you're in the house 23 hours a day.
So what do you do with yourself now? Do you like coaching and stuff like that? Are you into coaching?
I'm trying to do a lot of stuff now. So I'm doing quite a lot of stuff for the LFC Foundation, which I was meant to be starting up with them before this started off, but obviously that's been put on the back burner now. So we're just coming up with stuff to do on the internet, online. I've been doing a lot of FaceTime calls. So I was on Sunday, I was a bit down Sunday, and I thought, what can I do Monday to pick me up again? So I put a tweet out on Sunday night saying, look, I'm going to do FaceTime calls to any keepers, any young, any age, young or old, that want any advice or just want to chat for 5 minutes. So I've been doing that the last 3 days. It's been brilliant. Really has been. Been speaking to some real great characters, some lads that are just obsessed with football, which is great to see. So I've been doing that. Been doing lots of exercise, been walking the dog. I've got a bike, a watt bike in the house. I've been doing that.
Yeah.
Just been trying to keep busy, but we've been trying to spread things out over the course of the day instead of like waking up and getting everything done and then you've got six, 7 hours doing nothing. Sort of spread things out. Yeah, I bought a remote control car. So when I was a kid, I love remote control. Yeah, I love remote control cars when I was a kid. So I bought one of them. So we've got a driveway. We share like a cul-de-sac with people and we've got a driveway. So I take the dog out and he chases the car. And it's, so you just try and come up with different stuff that you've not really done.
It's mad, isn't it? Because we're like, nobody can prepare for this. It's like, but we're all in the same boat. It's really weird. Like I've been agoraphobic. I don't know if you're familiar with that. But like being afraid to leave your home and stuff. So agoraphobia is when you're homebound pretty much.
Right.
So I've been through that in the past and I've had episodes recently where I felt like that. So I'm kind of used to staying at home. I work from home. Yeah. I work for myself from home. So like nothing's really changed. The only time I notice it is when I go to the shop and it's just like quiet distance between
people. Well, it's here, isn't it?
I like it. I like it.
You like that?
Yeah.
Oh my word. Well, I'm a little bit. It's weird, isn't it? Because now in the street, like you go out when you do even for your hour exercise, it's just so not normal. Like moving out of the way and getting, you see somebody coming towards you, and you walk in the middle of the road, and a lot of people now just not even saying hello or anything like that. They're just, you know,
it's weird, isn't it? Yeah. I think it started out with good intentions and people were friendly and jovial. Now it's got a bit serious. Bit mundane.
It is, and I go out. I don't let my daughter or my wife go out, so I don't want them. You know, so I go out and do the shopping and do bits and bobs, and I go and do a walk together with a dog. And but just you've got to stick to the rules. You know that we're not gonna. The longer people keep breaking them and keep putting people at risk, the longer this lockdown's going to go on.
Yeah, definitely, man. Scary times. Let's get back to anxiety for a minute.
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask you about like trips into Europe. And stuff like that. Like, how did you cope? Because you were saying, like, the journey to Sheffield was a bit too much. So, European ties?
They were fine, you know. Because it didn't really... I mean, I always liked being at home, but I never had an issue going away. I couldn't wait to get home, but it never stopped me doing things. When I was at Liverpool, I suppose it's in the environment you're with as well. Liverpool is just amazing. I've always...
Yeah, right.
I mean, we travel.
Oh, you're a Liverpool fan?
Yeah, my first game was 1988 when my dad used to take me up from Leicester on the bus. So, yeah, I was standing them days in the cop. We used to stand in the cop. It wasn't really an issue. I mean, didn't have kids there. I think when kids come along as well, that sort of you don't want to go away from home then. You want to be around them. So, obviously, in my early part of my career, it was just me and Leona. And she volunteered and did a lot of stuff at Liverpool with disabled people and stuff like that. So, she kept busy. It wasn't an issue really. It wasn't an issue till Lucy come along in 2006, and I didn't like leaving home and stuff like that. But at Wigan, I mean, at Wigan we weren't in Europe or anything like that. You went away pre-season. But
you got to the final of a couple of cups, didn't you?
I'd left by then.
Oh, did you?
I left Wigan by then. Yeah.
Oh, blimey.
We went away but we had such a great squad at Wigan.
Yeah.
We used to socialise off the pitch, all the partners, all the kids. We used to get together on Sundays, and so that made it going away was, to be honest, I loved it at Wigan. I loved going pre-season wherever we went. It was good times, really good times.
Would you say that was your best playing experience being at Wigan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where I played my best. Of the 2006 to 2009-10, that's really where I played my best football.
And were you with Liverpool when they were in Istanbul?
Yes, I played in the early rounds, played in the Olympiacos game, but then unfortunately got a bad injury and missed the...
Yeah,
missed the semi-final, missed the final. But we were out there, we went to Istanbul.
Yeah.
So we're all, me and my wife were out there. But yeah, I mean, again, at Liverpool, as I said, we didn't have Lucy then. But it wasn't until I moved to Sheffield Wednesday where I just, the travelling got to us.
And yeah.
just totally out for 11. Like I said, for 11 years, I had a routine. I knew what I was doing every day, whether it was at Liverpool or Wigan. I was 15 minutes from Liverpool, 15 minutes from Wigan. Training times were similar.
Yeah.
Knew exactly what your days off were. Mm-hmm. You know, every Wednesday, Sunday, you weren't training. And then all of a sudden, these things, it just turns upside down. Turns upside down.
I guess it's stress related again, isn't it?
It just started eating away. And there'll be some mornings where, you know, you get home later because of the traffic. And then you think, oh, God, set me alarm again now for 4:15 for tomorrow. Mm. And then you're thinking, I've got to go to bed at 8:30 or I'm going to be shattered. And your mind just races. And it sort of took over and gradually ate away at me while I was there for 3 years. But as I said, I thought moving closer to home when I moved to Preston, which is just up the road, I thought that would reverse the cycle. But by then, I was too far.
You'd learn those behaviours.
Yeah.
I was thinking, like, because being a goalkeeper is a thankless task usually. Like, one error, you make an error as a keeper and it's like spotlights on you. But if you miss a sitter as a striker and it's forgotten. So did that ever play on your mind? Like, mental health, did you ever get affected by press coverage or did you not make mistakes?
When I was younger, didn't bother me at all. No. Just wanted to train, wanted to play. People will say, I want to move to Liverpool, the pressure. Didn't feel it at all.
Yeah.
You know, I was younger then. When you're younger, you're fearless. You just want to play, you want to train. You're not bothered at all. And it wasn't until I got over 30, probably when I was at Wigan more, we were near the bottom of the league for a few seasons and relegation battles, it does mentally take it out of you.
Mm.
Not just because of the football, it's because, you know, if you get relegated, people lose their jobs.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, people at the ground. And we were very aware of that, what would happen if we did go down. And, it does. And I was captain there as well for a season. And it is tough. It mentally drained. I remember some games coming home when we'd lost or we'd won and we'd move away slightly from the relegation zone. And it's like... And you just have to try and switch off, but then you're back there Monday morning preparing for the next game. And it just takes its toll. And you're very aware of what's at stake when you're older. But when you're younger, you're not bothered. You just want to play. It's not until you get older you realise some of the magnitude of the games that you're playing in.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm used to seeing relegation battles. I'm a Birmingham City fan. So it's like...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's my dad's fault.
Yeah, we had some tussles with them over the years.
I remember, great days when we were back in the Premier League. Oh dear. So in 2019, when you had the relapse thing, was there any reason for you reaching that point? Because if it all started just
having no structure, really. Just having, yeah. I mean, I retired, obviously, in 2016. And, you know, when you retire, you think, I'm going to go on a load of holidays. And we did that, and we did all this stuff. You know, but then it becomes boring. It, like, you miss doing stuff. You miss having that routine every day and, you know, getting up for a purpose and stuff. So... obviously, I did my own academy, started bits over there. Do a lot with Liverpool TV, which is great. Liverpool as a club have been amazing.
Yeah.
Really have. They've gone above and beyond. Got very good relationships with people there. So I go to all the games. Lucky enough to go to the games, work at the games and do the 18s. The academy, Liverpool Academy, is just up the road from us, 5 minutes away. So, you know, everyone at the club's been amazing. But I just needed that structure. So my daughter's just coming. I needed to have a routine again and just get doing something. So now, obviously, once we get back to things, I'm going to be doing stuff with the foundation and doing a lot of charity stuff, doing my goalkeeper academy. And because I need to be doing stuff, I need to be busy.
It's good that you've identified that, though, because otherwise, I mean, I guess a lot of people probably struggle when they retire from the game. It must be...
Oh, they do.
That change in lifestyle must be... absurd.
Oh, it is. Like I said, it just completely does a 180.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have other players reach out to you now, like, because you've spoken out about it? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Loads of players, past, present.
Yeah.
I mean, the PFA, I think 3 years ago, there was 130 people asked for help through the PFA, past and present players. Now it's up to 700 this season.
Yeah. And is the help there? Yeah. More help.
There is more than there was. There's still got a long, long way to go. Long way to go. Like I said, when people need help for whatever it is, mental health, addictions, or whatever, obviously it's a sporting chance. But the sporting chance is all sports, and they only take four people in at a time. So you know, when I rang them, it was a 3 month wait, and you can't wait that long. When you're ready to go into these places, you have to go there and then.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
So, you know, speaking with the PFA, they know that this is why Parkland Place is a great place. They, you know, they can get in there straight away. Mm. And there needs to be more places up and down the country for sports people, not just for sports people. I didn't do this just for sports people. It was society in general. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot more's got to be done. And like we keep saying, particularly now, there's going to be a lot of people that are struggling now. But when we get out of this as well, there's going to be a lot of people struggling, as you said.
Yeah, I think so.
Going to lose their jobs and finances and stuff like that. So it's going to be testing times for a good few years now, I think.
Yeah, it's going to be tricky. So let's talk football for a minute. I'm sure my subscribers will appreciate. Like, is this the best Liverpool team we've ever seen?
Yes.
You reckon?
I get asked this all the time, and it's tough. And I don't like comparing this team to the team of the 80s and early 90s.
I remember the Ray Houghtons and the Aldridge.
It's disrespectful to disrespectful to compare the teams. The team of the 80s that I grew up watching and early 90s, let them be legends like they rightly are. And this era today is totally different, and let this era today be what they are. You can't, it's impossible to compare what, you know, if you played that team back then, who would win. It's disrespectful to say that. Mm-hmm. You know, they deserve all the success and legendary status. I mean, I grew up watching them play, and I'm lucky enough now to work with a lot of the players that I watched growing up. You know, like Ray Clements, Bruce Grobbelaar, John Old, Ian Rush, you know, John Barnes. I get to work with them regularly now, which is, for me, is amazing.
They're your heroes.
They are. I grew up watching them play. And you know, they're all fantastic with us. You know, they're brilliant and reminisce about the old times, and it's amazing. But the team of today it's a special team as well, in their own right.
It really is.
This season, I mean, it's sour, obviously, what's happened.
It's crazy, isn't it? How long, how many years? Yeah, has it been 18 years or something like that?
Over 30 years.
Oh, is it? Blimey, that's even more then.
Yeah, over 30 years.
Do you think will they get to finish the season, do you reckon?
Honestly, don't know. No. I honestly don't know. Listen, football's not important at the minute. It is when it comes back, when we get back to playing, because I think people realise now just how big of a part it plays in people's lives.
Mm-hmm. You know, people work. Definitely.
People work all week, work their socks off all week in jobs that they probably don't want to be doing, and look forward to the weekends when they can go and watch a football game and watch it. So when football comes back, I think it's going to be a massive plus, and I think it'll be better than ever. But at the minute, it's not important at the minute. It's you know, health's more important. And once we get that sorted out, having football back is going to be, it's going to be amazing. But
it's going to be good.
I think it's going to be a while, though, unfortunately, before crowds are going to be able to go to games. I think it's going to be quite a long time. So whether this season, I don't know. I really don't know. It just all depends how long this lockdown goes on for. If it goes on for another 2 or 3 months, then I think it's impossible to finish the season.
Yeah, it's hard to think of a way they could do it, even behind closed doors. I mean, because players can't stay 2 metres apart from each other.
No, I mean, you see the SBL yesterday, you know, the Scottish leagues have called time on their seasons. The SBL, the Championship, League One and League Two have called time on their seasons. Mm-hmm. The SBL have not done it yet, but I'd imagine they'll be, if the other leagues have done it, I can't see the SBL being able to finish. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I really don't know what's going to happen. Really don't know.
Yeah, it's going to be odd. I was going to question you, like, because I see a lot of people talking about anxiety these days, because there's people that suffer with anxiety, but I think a lot of people get confused with, like, nerves and anxiety. So I was thinking, like, pre-match nerves. Did you ever struggle with...
No. Again, not until I was... it was nervous excitement more. When I was younger, no. Yeah. Again, I keep coming back to it. When I got over 30, you start thinking about the game that you're just about to play and the importance of it. And you do you do get nervous, yeah. I did when I got over 30. Before that, no, not at all. You not bothered. You just wanted to play, do your best and train and get on with things.
But you understood that was just nerves. Like, that's not a disorder.
Nervous excitement, I think it is. But then it becomes a bit more nervous, like I said, when you're going into a game knowing that you have to win. To pull away from the relegation zone, then it becomes a lot more nervous then.
And what about like with fame and press coverage and stuff like that? Does that?
To be honest, I've always had a good relationship with the press. I've never really had any negative stuff. I mean, I've had stuff in the street and when I've been out, people trying stuff and you know, abusing you and stuff like that. But the press in general have been brilliant with us. You know, I've always tried to speak to people the way I like to be spoken to, show people respect, and you know, but obviously you get some people that think they're above the law and think they can talk to you the way they want to talk to you. But yeah, in general, it's, you know, 99% during my career was fine.
Yeah, yeah. Sounds good to me. You've had a good experience because you're a good keeper. Yeah.
It's you know what, it's gone quick and it's looking back now, it seems like yesterday since I made my debut at Coventry. Mm-hmm. It's gone so
just
quick.
Down the road.
Really quick. It's gone really quick. I did an interview yesterday with Andy Turner, the Coventry Telegraph chap.
Yeah.
And he was there when I was there at Coventry, and we just got reminiscing about some times and when I was in the youth team and what we used to get up to in the youth team and all the pranks, because we used to stay together in a big lodge with 20 of us, 25 of us, and it used to be really good times. So, but it goes quick, and you know, I've been retired nearly 4 years now, and that seems like only yesterday.
Mm-hmm. What's your greatest memory playing?
My debut for Liverpool, as I said, always being a Liverpool fan. You know, standing on the cot when I was 7 to then sign from and play from, that'll always be the highlight of my career. Yeah.
Did you win?
We didn't. We lost 2-1 in a cup game to Grimsby. Oh, yeah, it was 119th minute, just about to go to penalties after extra time.
No.
Thinking, this is my debut, I'm going to be in front of the cop, hopefully saving penalties.
Yeah, you could have been the hero.
And then Phil Jevons for Grimsby scored probably it is the best goal I've ever conceded.
Really?
From about 35 yards. It's just flew over me. I mean, I'm like, I'm a yard above the bar diving, and the ball's just dipped at the last minute and gone right in the top corner. And of course, it was in front of 8,000 Grimsby fans behind the goal. And it was, it was gutting because, as I said, another 30 seconds and it had been penalties on my debut, which was a dream. But yeah, I got beat, unfortunately.
Did you win any trophies with Liverpool? Like FA Cups, League Cups?
Yeah, we got to League Cup finals. I played in the early rounds, played in Champions League, obviously. But got injured and missed finals.
So oh, really? Was that a recurring thing?
I've got some bad ones. I did my cruciate at Crystal Palace, where I just collided with Dele Adebola.
Ex-Blues player?
Yeah, he was a big lad and totally accidental. We both slid in for a ball. I've come out to slide to get it. He slid in and knee to knee. He was a lot bigger than me, Dele, and bashed my knee up. I had a back problem at Liverpool, which needed an operation. Broke a wrist, broke fingers, and yeah, so the injuries happened at bad times, but I'd do it all again just to play one game for Liverpool.
And the England cap, how was that?
Great,
what an experience.
Yeah, it was a long time coming. It was I got into quite a few squads, but there was a lot of good goalkeepers around me. It was great. It was at Old Trafford. I wish it was at Anfield instead of Old Trafford, but it was against Greece coming at half time for Paul Robinson, I think it was. Mm-hmm. So yeah, finally glad, because it was been building. It'd been sort of happening for a couple of years. I was in squads, thought I'd play, and then I got injured or played the other keeper. But then when it finally happened, it was good. And then it was just before I moved to, I'd just gone on loan to Wigan, and the game was on the Wednesday before the first game of the season on the Saturday, away at Newcastle, I think it was. So it was a major boost for us, going into that season with Wigan.
And I started
off really well with Wigan. I think that helped massively, just having that confidence of playing for England a few days before.
Yeah, yeah. How long was you with Wigan?
I was there 6 years.
Really?
Good experience. Yeah, 6 years at Wigan. So, yeah, we had... first 4 years were great, and then the last 2 years I didn't really play much. Roberto Martinez come in and got a different goalie coach, and my form just dipped. I just, you know, got a foreign goalie coach. Lovely chap, but the training just wasn't for me. Something had gone totally different to what I'd been used to all my career with English goalkeeper coaches, and it just wasn't just wasn't what I needed. But the first 4 years under Paul Jewell, and I had Gary Walsh as my goalie coach, Nigel Spink as my goalie coach. You know, probably the best time was under Steve Bruce, when Steve Bruce, ex-Blues manager. I think he left you actually to come to us, didn't he?
It's quite possible.
Yeah, he did. He left. I'm sure he left Birmingham to come to us.
Yeah. And then we had McLeish, I think, after that.
He was just he was amazing. He just, the atmosphere he got in the change room, the respect he got, and we did really well under Steve Bruce.
Yeah, Brucey. Yeah, well, he played one season. He played for Blues as well, didn't he, Brucey?
Yeah, he was one of the best managers I've worked under.
Yeah.
Yeah, just as a man manager. Hey.
Did you ever play against Liverpool for Wigan?
Yes.
And what is going through your mind when?
Oh, I didn't like it. No, I didn't. Played at Anfield a couple of times. We got a 1-1 draw at Anfield, which actually led to us being to staying up.
And, oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, I think I was man of the match that game as well. So I got amazing reception off the fans.
Yeah.
I don't like playing against the team I've always supported and played for.
Yeah, that must be really strange. And then you go home at night, watch match of the day, and then you're like, damn.
Yeah. it's tough. But the fans at Liverpool give every keeper a great reception, but that was special that night. They welcomed us back, and it was it was amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Good stuff. So what are you doing now? Like, I know you're doing the FaceTime stuff. Are you doing anything else with mental health?
We will be. I mean, obviously, with Parkland Place, where I went to, I'm an ambassador for them. And
okay.
I was meant to be going back down and seeing people that were in there. But obviously, with what's going on, you can't do that at the minute. So that's been put on the back burner. But always on the phone for them. I'm going to be doing a lot of stuff more with Liverpool as well going forward. But again, that's all on hold now. We can't do anything with that. You know, go and see people and stuff like that. So it's just, until this thing's over and we can start getting back to a little bit of normality. Like I said, I think it's going to be a while yet before we're allowed to do things like that.
I agree.
It's going to be a while. So we just have to get, you know, there's good and bad days. Everyone's going to have that. No matter who you are, you're going to feel some days like you can't be arsed.
Mm-hmm.
But you've just got to, exercise is a massive part for me. If I don't exercise, if I don't do something, then I feel lazy, I feel sloppy, I try and do something every day. Lucky enough, we've got quite a big garden out the back, so I play for my daughter's a goalkeeper as well. So
okay,
she I've been training her and trained yesterday in the garden. So we have to wait until the sun goes down a bit though, because our garden's a bit of a sun trap, and we don't like the sun.
As you can tell, my nose is proper.
Me and my daughter don't like the sun, so we have to wait till it's shaded a little bit before we do bits out there. Just trying to doing lots of stuff like this. I'm going to be doing the FaceTime stuff. It's keepers, but I'm going to be starting doing stuff for mental health ones as well. So I'll probably put that tweet out next week sometime. If anyone is struggling, in fact, I'm calling somebody today. Actually, I got a private message last night. A lad that said that he's really struggling at the minute. He's on his own. So I'm going to give him a call in a bit later on this afternoon. I'll be doing that, but it's great for me as well. You know, I like talking to people. I like listening to people. I went through a stage when I was going through it where I didn't want to answer calls, didn't want to talk to anyone, didn't want to go out, just didn't want to do anything. Just wanted to sit there and do nothing, and that obviously magnifies the problem.
Yeah, yeah.
Makes things worse. Yeah. So,
in you actually reaching out and speaking out, you've seen that it's therapeutic. So now you're
massively. Yeah, and that's my advice to people now. Just talk, even if it's for a couple of minutes, just talk to someone.
Yeah, yeah.
Bring someone, don't, because it's easy just to sit there and do nothing. But that doesn't help. That just makes things a lot, lot worse.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's why I do this podcast.
Yeah, once you get talking as well. I mean, I'm sure there's some mornings where you don't want to do things or you don't want to do a podcast. But once you get talking and you know, you get into it, it does help you, it changes your mindset.
It does. For the last like few weeks, I've been doing I started a thing called the Decaf Coffee Morning, where at 9 o'clock every morning I'm live streaming just for like half hour, 40 minutes while I drink a brew. And it's just like, brilliant, anything goes.
So you've got subscribers to your website, yeah?
I've got, no, not on the website, but YouTube. We've got like 18,000 subs on there.
Oh,
but the website's just information. Like, everything's free. Yeah. I've never charged anybody for anything. No. That's never the intention. I'm not writing.
What do you do? What's your normal job, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm a web designer.
Oh, you're a web designer?
Yeah, yeah.
Brilliant.
From home. I've been doing that for like 10, 12 years. But the reason I started doing that was because I couldn't leave the house. So I just thought, what can I do?
Right.
Start my own business. But it's just...
So do you think after this, so you can leave the house now?
Yeah. Well, I've been working on it for years and years. But yeah. I go through phases. Like I've had a bad phase a few years ago. But at the moment, I'm on a good trajectory, I feel like.
Right, good.
So
it's good to hear.
It's just after. I need to continue with my stuff. That's the...
Yeah, I'm sure you will. It'll be, again, I think possibly what's going to help you is it's going to be gradual. This thing's...
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, so which could possibly help your situation. Because I don't think as soon as they lift the lockdown, it's not going to be right. Everyone to games again, everyone to pubs, everyone to...
Yeah, exactly. Well, I live in Tamworth. I don't know if you're familiar with Tamworth.
Yeah, Tamworth, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I've been to the town centre in Tamworth twice in the last 2 years.
Drayton Manor Park.
That's right.
Yeah, I used to go to Drayton Manor when I was a kid.
Yeah. The last time I went, I went on Christmas, on Christmas Day in 2018 because I knew that it was going to be deserted. And I went out like 2 days ago around the town because I knew that it would be deserted. Yeah, that's the point. Yeah. That's what I've been saying to people, like,
yeah,
we are locked down, but still do something.
Yeah, after. I remember Drayton Manor Park when Shockwave was first out.
I remember that.
I remember going there.
I never went on it. I was too terrified.
Oh, it was a great ride.
I went on Stormforce.
Did you?
Yeah. That's as much as my excitement goes.
We took Lucy back, actually. I said, I'll have to take you where we used to go as a kid. So we went back a few years ago to Drayton.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good. Enjoyed it.
You've been to Snow Dome. We've got that as well.
The what, sorry?
The Snow Dome. The
indoor skiing. No, I've not been there, thing. No.
Are you not?
No, not been there, no.
I remember going there must be 20 years ago. And as I was walking through the foyer in there, and the Blues squad were in there, because it was one of their kids' birthday parties.
Oh, brilliant.
I shook hands with Martin Granger.
Did you?
Yeah.
Like it.
Yes. Ex-left back. Great player.
Brilliant.
That's about it, mate. I think we're good. I think we're good. Appreciate you joining.
If you need anything else going forward, just give us a message or whatever.
Yeah, and same with if you want any, I'll try and retweet your stuff.
Can you just get out what we're doing at the minute as well? Is we've got Jack Knowles. He's actually from Birmingham. I don't know if you know, mate. The Yapper. Have you heard of Yapper?
I seen it on your Twitter feed.
Yeah, so he contacted me. What's he going back now? Probably about 3 years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
With an idea, all his own idea, just saying about this app. There's no photos, no likes.
Yeah.
It's literally communication.
Mm-hmm.
So you can set the screen tone, how you're feeling, smiley face, you know, put how you're feeling, and then obviously people can get in contact with you if they see you're not feeling great or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So that, I think, said the other day, since this lockdown's been started, it's been a 70% increase in people using Yapper.
Yeah,
we did it for free. It's free to download, like you do this. You know, we're not in it for any money at all. He'd come up with an idea. If he'd rang me and said, or got in touch and said, listen, I've got an idea here, we're going to make loads of money doing it, I wouldn't have done it.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't have done it, but he didn't. He said, this is going to be free for everyone across all platforms, Android, iOS.
I'll get the links for it. I'll stick them in the description of the video.
Brilliant. But he's there's loads of stuff. There's going to be more stuff like meditation sections, fitness sections. There's local help section on it. So if you, wherever you are, if you put, I need help on it, it pinpoints where your local help is, wherever you are in the UK. And I was speaking to him the other day, it's been downloading like 170 countries now, which is great. And again, it's free.
Yeah, that's the best part.
The best, you know, the better for people.
Yeah, love it. Nice one.
Cool. All right, mate. Well, listen, great talking to you.
Yeah, man. Take it easy.
And if I can help you in any way as well, mate, just give me a message. If you need a chat anytime or whatever, just
really appreciate it, man. Same goes.
Keep doing what you're doing, and don't hide away, mate. Keep doing things gradually. We'll be right back.